Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking Brown Betty and Kwanzaa. But first up, food headlines with my main man, executive producer of Heritage Radio Network, Jack.
What's up, Nicole?
What's up, Jack?
Not too much. Crazy week, huh?
Crazy week. I think we got to start off the show and saying, you know, condolences and peace to the people who are suffering in Connecticut. Such a sad, sad time to throughout the country. So definitely peace to them at this holiday season.
Yeah, you're truly unbelievable. It's like you can't really put it into words, but our hearts are with them.
Totally, totally.
What else has been going on, though? How was your week otherwise?
The week was good. Yesterday, I ventured down to New Amsterdam Market to pick up citrus. They had a citrus farmer to bring up citrus from C's Bees Farm. And I'm trying to figure out what the hell is a baboon lemon.
Yeah, I've heard about this also, but I don't know myself.
I did a real quick Google search, but I didn't even go click on it. I think it's from Brazil. I'm not sure. It looks like a hybrid, like orange and lemon. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's Brazilian, and apparently it has a really intense acidic flavor.
So if someone is listening right now, please tell me what I need to do with this. How should I cook this?
I would say use it in cocktails, but that's just me. Yeah,
that's the same thing I was thinking, but...
Have you ever used Meyer lemons?
Of course.
Yeah, you know, so that's always fun with cocktails for me. Sub out the lemon for Meyer lemon. It's a totally different drink.
Or I thought about just preserving like two or three of them. I don't know.
Yeah, would be nice.
Something. Who knows?
So I also saw that the Guide to Ethical Eating was put out by... your people at ROC.
Yeah, I was so excited. Rock NYC was on the show probably this spring. Restaurants Opportunity Center of New York. I didn't realize that they apparently do this every year. They put out an ethical guide to eating where they rate restaurants or cafes and how they treat their employees. I thought this is really super cool and definitely the next wave of activism in terms of workers' rights and food justice stuff to do this.
Absolutely. It should be just as, if not more important than anything else you review a spot for.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's almost like how, you know, you have organizations and Zagat when they do the seal of approval. I would love to see like a seal in the window of some restaurants to say, you know, that they are ethical to their employees or something. That would be super cool. Love it.
I have to interject.
Oh, what you got to say, Jay?
I would also love for restaurants to have a proud sticker as a Heritage Radio Network member.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. We have a brand new membership program that I think listeners have been made aware of, but the focus we're really putting in now is on our business memberships. So basically, it allows a restaurant or a business or an organization to partner with us, and their entire staff gets membership cards. You know, they're recognized as a place we support, and I think it's just a great way to kind of tie into this community we've built here. So any small businesses or restaurants, you want to be on Team Heritage Radio.
Yeah, and we need to get some stickers made up so all these folks who have booths at all these markets or restaurants, they can have I'm a proud supporter of Heritage Radio Network.
That's right.
Fabulous idea.
So one more thing I've been seeing a lot in the news. I know the Times did something recently, and I'm looking at this Village Voice blog, and our friends from Sea to Table have actually been reporting for Huffington Post as well. You know, fraudulent seafood, especially in New York City. Basically, you think you're buying one thing, but it's not. You know, there's red snapper on menus that are tilapia and all other sorts of fraud. What do you think about that?
I'm confused. How is it that a diner goes to a restaurant and they order a red snapper and they get tilapia and they not know? I mean,
it's crazy.
Does this mean, I'm assuming that it must be a fish dish that must be in something else? or I guess my other thought is, I guess most people really don't know the taste of different fish and what it looks like.
Right. It's not so obvious. I guess the only comparison you could make is if they were saying, you know, we're selling Berkshire breed pigs and they were really Mangalista pigs. Most people wouldn't know the taste difference. It's more subtle.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I think it's absolutely crazy. I'm like, how can people get away with this? I didn't realize it was such a huge, huge story. I've been following the whole porgy trend. All these high-end restaurants are serving porgy. And back in the day, a porgy, which is like bottom feeder fish, were like, no one ate them because they're full of bones. So I just found it amazing that, A, number one, people are doing fraudulent seafood listings at restaurants, but also that porgies are like $20 plus an entree. Whoa. So I'm claiming, Jack, right now that will, porgies will be the fish of 2013.
Really?
Hands down.
All right.
Yeah.
You heard it first then, yeah.
There you have it.
Cool. Oh, I'll be at the Knicks game tonight.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Your beloved Knicks. What a great way to end the year, Jack.
Yeah, I know, right?
Great way to end the year.
They have Jeremy Lin coming back to town, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, I hope they win because I know you're a fan. And, thank you for all your work and your hard work and your help here on Hot Grease in 2012. Well,
thank you, Nicole.
Looking forward to big and better things in 2013.
Absolutely.
All right, listeners. There you have it, Food Headlines. We'll be right back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Shine bright like a diamond.
This is a remix of Diamonds by Rihanna by my friend Jerome LOL. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. Full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. If you're just tuning in, we are talking Brown Betty Bakery and Kwanzaa. If you follow me on social media, you've seen me say it a million times in the last few weeks. Hands down, my favorite cookbook of 2012 is the Brown Betty Cookbook, Modern Vintage Desserts and Stories from Philly's Best Bakery. And on the phone today to talk the bakery and more is co-author of Brown Betty Cookbook and the bakery, Narenda Brown Hayat. Narenda, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi, thank you.
So first off, I think you know I was in Philly 2 weeks ago, and I'm so delighted to try a lot of cupcakes, but hands down, my favorites were the red velvet, the specialty red velvet that you guys had.
The red with the peppermint.
Yes, and the sweet potato cupcakes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. I'm totally, totally, totally in love.
Oh, that's great. That's
yeah. So what? So is this your guys' first time doing the peppermint red velvet cake? Or
it is. It is. Mm-hmm. The red velvet is a bestseller. It's been a bestseller for a long time. But this holiday season, we decided to, you know, switch it up and add a peppermint frosting to it, and that's been really well received.
And I think I remember your sister telling me what the difference with the regular red velvet and the peppermint red velvet is. You guys use the buttercream instead of cream cheese.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit more about the sweet potato cupcakes. You have a great story in the book about sweet potatoes. But
and how my mom overuses them.
Yes. They're great, though.
Yeah, they are. They are. They are. And so, I mean, I think she was just, I'm always pushing her to develop new recipes. And I'm not sure what got in her mind to just try sweet potato in the cupcakes. And at first I wasn't feeling it because I was like, oh, people might think that we're doing too much sweet potato, until I tasted it. And then I was just like, you know what, it doesn't matter. I don't care. We're putting it on. It's great. You know, I was really happy with what she did with it. And, you know, then we added the spiced vanilla buttercream, and that just really, especially for fall, you know, complements it well.
Yeah. I've been following you guys for quite some time. Like, I remember seeing you guys on Oprah, and recently I saw you on Katie Couric's new show.
Yeah.
I was just so happening to flip the channel, and I saw it on, and I was like, oh, wow, Brown Betty Bakery.
It was great. It was great. She's awesome, obviously, you know, and it was a great honor to be on the show.
Philadelphia has definitely given you guys a lot of love over the last few years. How do you feel about all of the media and really your home city embracing the concept of Brown Betty Bakery?
You know, I think we obviously appreciate it very much. And, you know, I think for my mom and grandmom especially, it's just, you know, they're in all of it, because these are recipes that have been in our family for, you know, the plain pound cake has been in our family for 4 generations. And so for them to see the recipes that we've just, you know, taken for granted in some respects for many years and received so well by the public is just amazing.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. We want to talk more about your mom and members in your family. So listeners, hold tight. We'll be back with more Narinda from Brown Betty Bakery.
Great.
You're listening to Boy Crazy by Cookies on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
She's dancing by herself in a mother's summer dress. Oh, kid, she doesn't need your help. She studied art in Spain. Tall boys across her brain. Yeah, tall boys, men, they'll do anything. They sat her in the shade.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can check our program schedule and show listing at heritageradionetwork.org. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. If you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Narinda Bryant-Hayat. She is the co-author with her mother, Linda Hinton Brown. Their latest book is called The Brown Betty Cookbook, Modern Vintage Desserts and Stories from Philly's Best Bakery. So Narinda, it's the holidays. And I'm just curious to hear, when you think about December, do you reflect back on being in the kitchen with your mom or watching your mom baking growing up?
For sure, absolutely. And I, you know, we tell the story in the book of my mom would start baking holiday cookies probably a week or two before Christmas actually came. And, you know, it was like a store in our living room with all of our cookies all over the dining room table, rather. And, you know, I would steal cookies. I would watch her bake. I would taste batter. I would steal cookies from the coffers. It was, you know, definitely a tradition in our household, holiday cookies.
When I think of you guys' book, and when I say it's my favorite book, one of my favorite books of all time. Yeah, by the Darden sisters, is Spoon Bread and Strawberry Wine.
Yes, for sure. That's one of ours, too.
Yeah, it was published in 1978, and so when I got y'all's book, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is perfect. What other food traditions beyond desserts do you remember, particularly at the holidays, that aren't in the book?
You know, I mean, we have historically done holiday brunch at our house, so Christmas brunch. And we would, because, you know, we would, my sister and I get up really, really early on Christmas to try to look for our presents. And, you know, since you're up, you might as well eat. So instead of, you know, doing a big dinner later, we would always do, my mom would make breakfast, a big breakfast for us. And I remember that from growing up as well. And then we'd go off to my grandmom's house on my dad's side for a big dinner with family. It was just a lot of food and family.
And speaking of grandmothers, my favorite three stories in the book, and if you could just tell our listeners briefly about the three people, is definitely the story of your grandma, Betty, Hattie, and Thelma. Hands down, my favorites in the book.
Yeah, yeah, those are some of my favorites, too. I mean, the book is a homage to my grandma, so there's a ton of my Betty stories and about her baking, her ladies' clubs, and actually forming a really strong bond with women that she worked with, both white and black women, at a time when her workplace was being integrated and using food to bring those women together. And then Hattie was my grandmom's mother-in-law, who was strict and felt very strongly about how my grandmother should take care of my grandpa and didn't have any problem mincing words about it. So we named the cake that we named after her as Hattie Don't Play, because, you know, from all accounts, she did not. Then Hey Thelma's my dad's sister, but also my mom's best friend, and she passed away early of breast cancer, but was just a wonderful, wonderful friend to the whole neighborhood. And our cake in homage to her is the Hey Thelma cake, because, you know, I can recall people just saying, Hey Thelma, Hey Thelma, you know, as you walk down the street with her.
What's so beautiful about the book, the recipes and the stories, I think that anyone can really pick this up and say, oh, I have a Hattie in my family. Mm-hmm. I have a, you know, a Thelma in my family. And you pick it up and it really inspires you to, you know, reach out to the person that your Thelma, and also to bake something.
Yeah.
One of the things that I like in y'all's repertoire that your mom came up with is the nudies. And I was like, wait a minute now. So the nudies, did people come in and they were like, I need to watch my sugar intake? And your mom was like, okay, let me do these cakes with no sugar.
It was really more about my grandpa. He had diabetes, and other members of our family had diabetes. And my mom was trying to figure out a way to, you know, create a cake that they could enjoy and would really be tasty without, you know, kind of upsetting their doctors. So that's where the nudies really came about. And then, you know, there were the customers then responded really well to that, because people were experiencing the same situation in their own families.
And they're all made with basically the
fruit juice.
Exactly. That's what
I remember,
fruit juice.
Fruit and juice, yep.
So what's next? I know that you have a son. I know you guys are expanding. What's next for Brown Betty's Bakery in terms of stories, recipes, products?
Well, we're going to try a line of canned goods, and we're opening a pantry, which is going to be kind of part coffee shop and part, you know, goods that we make that can be taken home and kind of added to your meal or baked. And we hope to have that at the beginning of the year. And then, you know, I think we're going to play around with some other concepts. We want to see if we can open a couple of stores outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe another cookbook will be in our future. We have to see.
Well, Narenda, happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Congratulations
to you as well, Nicole,
on publishing the book. Sending love to your mom, your sister, and your entire family.
Thanks. You as well. Thanks so much for having us on.
Thank you. Listeners, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk Kwanzaa Culinarians.
You're listening to Happy, again by Jerome LOL, on heritageradionetwork.org.
The Welcome back to Hot Greases on Heritage Radio Network. Today, the show is being engineered by Jack, and somebody else is in the studio. I forget his name, but
Austin.
Hey, Austin. Austin is very hipster looking. Thank you for engineering the show and being produced by the wonderful Jack Inslee. Let me give a Southern Girls hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. It's the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. So, all right, folks, on December 26th, a small or growing percentage of people will be celebrating Kwanzaa. I like to give people just the short and skinny on Kwanzaa, that it's really all about community and reflection, because people are like, what does it mean? What are the principles? It's just a time to get together and reflect. And what other time, particularly this year and any year, to get together and have some good food and cheers to, you know, kids and adults and people in our family. Last year around this time, we actually did a pre-record with Sonara Weathers. She's been on the show before, but we never aired it. It was about Kwanzaa. So we thought, hey, let's do it today. Sonara launched last year a wonderful online platform called Kwanzaa Culinarians. So they're food bloggers of color from all over the world blog each day with a recipe, with their reflection on Kwanzaa, including one of the principles of Kwanzaa and a recipe. A lot of great recipes on there. Congratulations, Sonara, for doing it for the second year. I totally love it. We need a book from you, Sonara. There are not a lot of great books out there about Kwanzaa, but I have to shout out Jessica B. Harris. She has a great book that was out, that was published over 10 years ago, called The Kwanzaa Keepsake. And it's a cookbook, again, that focuses on Kwanzaa. So listen, right now we have the pre-record from Sonara Weathers. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Last week, I spent an hour in Strand Bookstore looking for new Kwanzaa books. At that point, I realized that my friend Sonara Weathers, creator of My Life Runs on Food.com's new project, Kwanzaa Culinarians, is brilliant. On the phone to talk more about her latest project is Miss Weathers. Sonara, welcome.
Hey, hello. How you doing?
Welcome back to Hot Grease.
Thank you for having me again.
So, first, Sonara, I want to talk about the current resources about Kwanzaa on the market. Did you find a void when you were thinking about this idea, or did you find an abundance of things online and offline about Kwanzaa?
I didn't look at any bookstores, to be quite honest. I looked mostly online. There's so many people and resources and website about it. Basically, all the information is quite the same. I did see a lot of African-American vendors online selling different Kwanzaa-related gifts, but which goes with the principles of Kwanzaa, but not so many. My resource is definitely online. And I like it. I like it that way. I like it where people can kind of pick and choose how to honor and celebrate that time of year anyway.
So I have to ask you, do you celebrate Kwanzaa? Do you celebrate it during the month of December, which is, as you know, December 26th through January 1st? Or do you choose another time of year? Because I think some people think it's a holiday, but it's actually a celebration. Do you use the seven principles of Kwanzaa during the 7 days, or throughout the entire year?
We, in our household, we are invited to a good neighbor's celebration down the street from us, and she requires everybody to bring just one fruit from each of us, and that's all she requires. And it's a beautiful celebration where we reflect on all the principles all in one day, which she has her celebration on January 1st. Other than that, if it wasn't for her, we probably would not honor it. But I do believe, since doing this project, that we are going to be honoring it this year. not as extensively. It's more to me about reflecting on their values. So I'm not going to even buy the candle holder. It'll just be just 7 candles, and we can just reflect and talk about it in our household. And if somebody invites us to a party, we're definitely come. And if they want me to bring a dish, then I would love to bring a dish.
Yeah, you just said candle holders and Kanara. I mean, I have 2 Kanaras. I mean, there are so many different, as Jessica mentioned before, there's so many different pieces of Kwanzaa. You know, you have the mat, you have the Kanara, you have the fruits that you put on the table. But I really think, and I think we're saying the same thing, that you can celebrate Kwanzaa in whichever way that you choose.
Exactly.
So I have to ask you this. This is a kind of funny question. Did you see the Sandra Lee Kwanzaa cake?
Yes, I did. I did.
It was funny, right?
It's funny. It's you don't know. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. I was, when I first saw it, I said the audacity of her. But I've heard this is not the first time she has done this to other people's cultures and traditions as well. So we, being part of the African American community, should not be we're not the only ones offended and laughing about it.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. And I have to ask you this. Have you gotten, when you've told people about your project, because when I mention to folks I'm celebrating Kwanzaa, they look at me kind of weird. They don't know what to say. And sometimes people just ask, like, what exactly is Kwanzaa? What are some of the interesting comments that you either read or you received when you mentioned Kwanzaa as a celebration?
Well, when we approached some of the food bloggers about contributing materials, the first comment that most people said was, I don't celebrate it. But the next comment is usually, well, I'm curious about it, so this is my time to really learn. I guess I should learn about it. It's kind of a guilty type of feeling. And then I remember one food blogger, she outright just said, no, that's not my holiday, and even though we knew she was of color. It's all about who, you know, how or what you identify yourself with, but that seems to be the most common message that I received also. But interesting, when we asked people, we did discuss it, the 4 of us, 4 or 5 of us who were participating in organizing this, and we said, you know, when we approached people about it, we were saying, well, it's more about the principles. You know, you're writing about, you know, we all, including myself, had to learn about the principles. And when you learn about it, you think, okay, all right, this is really this is not a holiday. This is more about reaffirming ourselves in our community.
Exactly.
And thinking of ourselves as a community and thinking less about ourselves, about who we are, and more about what is our role in our community. So when we brought that issue up to food bloggers, and they said, when we started to introduce people on that aspect of it, people were more inviting of participating in Kwanzaa.
Sanara, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more in depth about. Listeners, if you're just tuning in live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with Sanara Weathers, the co-creator and founder of Kwanzaa Culinarians. That was recorded last year during the first year's launch of the website. If you want more information, you can find them on Twitter at Kwanzaa Culinary and KwanzaaCulinary.com. So that's it, folks. It's a wrap. 2012 is in a bag. I am so happy that you guys have listened to the show all year long. Join me here next year. Same time, 3:30 Eastern time, same place, heritageradionetwork.org. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.